Welcome back. 8 minutes past the hour. It's Faith Radio. Bill Meyer with family therapist and author Dr. Linda Mental. She also teaches at Liberty University's College of Osteopathic Medicine, hosts her own radio show, which you hear every weekend here on Faith Radio. Good morning, Dr. Linda.
Good morning. How are you, Bill?
Well, I'm good. I know a lot of people really feeling anxious this morning, feeling on edge, which is understandable, given the bombings in New York and New Jersey and then this attack on the mall in Minnesota. And I am sure I can pretty much guarantee we have some Faith Radio listeners who are really struggling right now with feelings of anxiety. And given that, would love to start off by having you share some of the principles in your book, Letting Go of Worry, because as you know, Christians, we're told to cast our anxiety upon the Lord, but often that's easier said than done. So if you could maybe share just a few of the steps to overcoming worry that you describe in that book.
Sure. One of those things that we need to start with is that we're all listening to the news. I was driving in this morning to work, and I was hearing the updates on the bombings in New York City and in New Jersey and where they're at. And one of the things that the governor was saying was that we have to get back to normal. We have to, get the subways are open, the roads are open. People have to continue to not allow their lives to be disrupted. And I thought, that's easy to say to people, especially if they don't have any place to go with all of that anxiety and that worry. So, number one, we have to recognize that we have these difficulties in our world, and they're going to be there. And one of the first places I begin in the book is helping people understand the difference of being concerned about problems and not trying not to think about things or putting our heads in the sand or, you know, kind of putting our hands in our ears and going, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. We have to be aware, because there's a difference when you're concerned about a problem, you try to solve it. When you're worried about a problem, you're just circling the problem over and over without any kind of way to solve it. When you're concerned about a problem, you want to take action. You take control where you can, and then you let go of the parts that you can't. But with worry, you feel inactive, paralyzed, like you feel out of control all the time. And when you're concerned about something, you're really trying to think, okay, how do I handle this? What do I need to do? And in our case, we're going to talk about how does God help me in this process. When you're worried, you are completely just disrupted. You're just paralyzed, and you can't think, you don't think, and you forget about God. And I want to say that the opposite of worry is trust in God. So at the root, at the very root of worry, it's all about a doubt in God. I don't say that to condemn people, but when we begin to worry, we really need to go back to that place of, am I trusting the Lord in this situation, or am I panicking because I just feel so out of control? And remembering that God is in control. He is with us. He doesn't leave us in the middle of these difficult times. In fact, he goes out of his way in several of the Psalms to talk about, I'm an ever-present help in the time of trouble. So that's a good place to start. We like to hold on to worry, though, Bill, because a lot of times it serves a function in our life. A lot of people say, well, if I worry, then somehow I'm going to stop things from happening. Or if I worry, I'm showing concern. And Scripture just does not support that. So part of what we need to do is begin to rest in the Lord. And I think the best way I can help people, and I do this a lot of times when I travel and I talk to people, is help them understand what Scripture says about taking a thought captive. That is going to be key to people doing well, because the worried thoughts come into your mind. And the more that you push them away or try to say, I'm not going to think about that, of course, the more you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a saying in therapy, the more you resist, the more it persists. And I think that's very true about anxious thoughts. So the first place is just to acknowledge that you have an anxious thought and then begin to take it captive. What does it mean to take it captive? What do? Well, when somebody is in captivity, they're confined. They're in a space where they cannot go out. And so what I tell people is think about captivity, taking that thought captive. Do not let it wander into worried waters. Instead, acknowledge it, say what it is, and then begin to replace it with the truth of what God says. And this is where knowing Scripture really helps you, because you can begin to incorporate Scripture into everything you're saying.
So you name the worry, and then you keep it captive. And I'm guessing you would say, because I believe this very strongly, that memorizing scripture can be such an advantage. If we are racked with anxiety or worry, bringing forth those verses, just having them in our mind, you know, writing scripture on our heart is a big part of overcoming that anxiety.
It is, and one of my favorite ones, and the one I was thinking about this morning, and it's in the book, and one of the great things about this book, not that I'm trying to promote my book, but one of the great things is at the end of the book, I list all the scriptures so that they're right there that relate to worry, contentment, and peace, so that you can go and you can review those on a daily basis. But one of my favorite ones is Psalm 112, 7 through 8, and it says, "He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast. Trusting," there's that trusting part, "in the Lord. His heart is secure because of that trust. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes."
Wow,
now, right
powerful.
There, we're hearing bad news. What does the Lord tell us? You don't have fear of bad news. Trust in me. And part of what God says over and over in Scripture is daily, renew your mind with the truth of who I am, because the way the enemy attacks us is in our thoughts and in our mind, and he comes in and he just tries to grip us with fear. And it's easy to do, especially if you've ever, I mean, you and I have talked before, you know, my brother was killed because of a terrorist bomb. So when you hear these bad news reports, it's really easy to allow your heart to be gripped and go, "Oh, God," you know, and then you think something bad's going to happen. But you have to take that thought captive and say, "Okay, I'm not to fear bad news because you are the person I trust in. And you have this in your hand and you have it under control and you are with me during this difficult time."
You know, one of my friends who's a pastor has talked about the importance of that daily renewing of our mind. He said if we wait till the crisis moments, and that's the only time we turn to God, if we don't have that ongoing relationship with him where daily we're coming to him, even with the little things, then when the big things happen, we feel overwhelmed because we haven't had that ongoing lifeline with him. And that's really key, isn't it? Abiding in Christ each day.
Yeah, abiding in the vine and being attached to that vine keeper who is the Lord, because it is a habit. What happens is you just develop a habit of then going, "Okay, as soon as I'm having that thought, I know what to do. I know how to take that thought captive. I know how to trust the Lord." And, you know, Psalm 50 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me." So God is telling us, "Hey, call upon me. Call upon me whenever." Whenever. Psalm 42, "Why are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God." I mean, it's just over and over. "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." Psalm 56:3. So there's just so many scripture. If you want to start, I would say start in the psalm and just go through that and look at what it says about "I am here." The fundamental issue here is a trust in the Lord. And so kind of what you're getting at, Bill, is that if we don't have this personal, intimate relationship with Jesus where we understand that it's not about what we do. It's not about, you know, how many security measures we take. Although those are all good things. But it's ultimately about saying, "God, you are in control. And I trust you. I trust you to be with me this day and every day to walk me through." And again, the Lord doesn't promise us difficult, free life. He says you're going to have trouble. But he says, "Cast your cares on me when you do. And look at me and trust in me, and I will be your help."
Once again, Linda's book is called Letting Go of Worry, with all those great verses at the end that you can reference. We'll take a quick break and be right back with Dr. Linda Mental. Stick with us. Good morning. Welcome to a Monday. I'm Bill Meyer. My guest, Dr. Linda Mental, who you can hear every weekend here on the Faith Radio Network with the Dr. Linda Mental program. Now, Linda, switching gears for a minute, this past weekend, you tackled a great topic on your radio show, how to influence people and win them over, and you really applied this to evangelism as well. I'm guessing, I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but I'm guessing you would say that a lot of Christians could use a bit of practice, maybe sharpening those skills.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. We have a tendency to come at people pretty directly and not think about the impact of building a relationship with people before we maybe launch into what we want them to know. Now, look, we're well-meaning people. We want people to know the saving power of Jesus Christ. So it's not that our motives are bad, but what I was suggesting on the show is if we look at some of this research on how do we begin a conversation with people, how do we win people over small things like listening and nodding and turning towards people, even crazy little things. We talked about the position of your feet when you're talking to people. That if your feet are turned towards someone, they're listening. If they're turned away, they're not. That might be an evangelism tip for people. Are you winning people over during the moment? Look at their feet and see where their feet are. So we had some fun with some of the nonverbal cues, but we also, the important part of that conversation was really, you know, to speak the truth in love with people and to really build relationships, and in that process, showing them that the love of the church and that people would want to be around us and want to be influenced by us because of that light that is shining through us.
Can you talk about the difference between influencing someone and manipulating them? Because I think for some people, there's a gray area there.
Yeah, we made a point about that. We talked a little bit about, you know, we're not doing this so we can control. It's not like what happens in advertisements where they're really trying to persuade and to convince you and to somewhat manipulate you to buy their product. So there's all these ways of kind of getting at you in a way that's subtle and you don't really understand and you don't know exactly what's happening to you. There's nothing, we're not trying to do anything unconscious with people or trying to manipulate them. We're really just trying to build a good relationship with people so that we can have influence. Influence is, you know, something that you want to have over people. You want to be able to talk to them about the Lord. You want to be able to talk about your life. And in terms of the very thing we're talking about today, how can I have peace in my life? If somebody looks at me, and I tell this story in I think one of my books, maybe it's in this Letting Go of Worry book, where after I was after my brother was killed from that airplane, I was on a plane that was having engine problems, and one of the engines went off, and we had to make an emergency landing. And as the plane was in a very difficult place, and people were really scared in the plane, and I mean, people were panicking, Bill. People were yelling, "We're going to die." I mean, it was just really bad. And I kind of, you know, the therapist came out in me, and I stood up, and I didn't stand up, but I kind of edged up as much as I could with my seatbelt on. I said, "Look, everybody needs to stay calm. Let's just all take a deep breath." I start leading the group into, you know, relaxation and calmness and all this kind of stuff. And afterwards, when we were changing planes, a man came up to me and he said, "You were so calm and you were so kind. What was going on with you?" And, you know, it was a really great opportunity for me to say, really, I should have been the most panicked person on that plane.
Wow.
Because I lost a brother. And I had an opportunity to talk to him about my faith and the impact that faith plays in your life when you're in the middle of these difficult times. So it wasn't because if I would have just started preaching on the plane, people would have probably turned me off. But because I just met people where they were and tried to help and tried to be kind and tried to be, you know, in relationship with people there, they were willing to listen to me. So really important lesson for us as Christians and the church to come at people with a gentle approach, to love them, to get to know them, to listen carefully, and to be effective in our relationships so that we can speak into people's lives.
Mm. It's a great program, and you can actually hear the podcast by going to myfaithradio.com. I'm just looking for the Dr. Linda Mental program page. Check it out from this past Saturday. Linda, thank you so much for your time this morning on a day when a lot of us, I think, are just sort of on edge. We appreciate your reminder to get back to what's really important, and that's our relationship with our loving Heavenly Father.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.